I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. If there's been something that's been holding you back, holding you down, bothering you, defeating you, it's not that it can't be overcome. It's just that you don't know how yet, or you haven't gotten, you know, from the Lord what you need to do to overcome it. It can be overcome. Yes. Hallelujah. It can be. The greater one is inside of you. One thing that we know that's the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Many people, their spirits are very weak, and their faith is either not there at all or very little. You know, Jesus, when he walked the earth and ministered to people, he'd comment on their faith numerous times. Sometimes he'd say, "Oh, ye of little faith." Well, that's, you know, not a compliment that you had such little. Sometimes he would say, "How is it that you have no faith?" Well, he was expecting there would be some, and there was none. There were a few times that he said, "Great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you have believed. According to your faith, be it to you." How many would like to hear that comment from the Lord?
Yes.
Great
yes.
is your faith. Well, it's not just up to him. It's up to us. He's given us a measure of his very own faith. The Bible tells us that in Romans. But what we do with it after he's given it to us is not just up to him, it's up to us. We must feed this faith, and we must use this faith. We must exercise this faith. And you don't start on the biggest thing there is out there. You start on what's relative to you, to where you are in your life. You believe to pay a bill,
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
You believe to overcome a headache, a stomach ache, whatever the case might be, but you don't do nothing, and you don't just give up and act hopeless and pitiful and go, "Well, I just can't. Yeah, you can.
Yes.
The Bible didn't say you can't. He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," the scripture said. So I'd like to hear you say that out loud right now. Say, "I can."
I can.
Say it again.
I can.
I can. Can you?
Yes.
Yes, I can. I can. Say it out loud. I can.
I can.
Do all things.
Do all things.
Everything I need to do.
I can do it.
Through Christ.
Through Christ.
The anointed one.
Who strengthens me.
Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You'll be tempted. Mm-hmm. Today, whenever, you'll be tempted in life to go, I can't. I just can't. When you're tempted to say that and believe that, bite your lip, go, The greater one's inside me.
Amen.
With his help,
yes.
I can.
Yes.
I can. Somebody needs to say it again. I can.
I can.
I can do this.
I can do this.
I can overcome this.
I can overcome this.
I can receive this.
I can receive this.
I can do all things.
I can do all things.
I need to do. Through the anointed one. And his anointing on me. And in the mighty name. I can.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I can. Well, Father, we do confess that. And we believe that. And we affirm our faith in saying this, that you are with us. And you are for us, and you help us, and we can. We ask for the anointing today and throughout this week, the anointing that teaches us. Give us opening of eyes and ears and heart and mind, and show us, Lord, the answers and the direction and the help that we need for right now. We ask it in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, we began some weeks ago here in Faith School on a series that we're calling Faith for Provision. We live by faith, we walk by faith, and that means everything. How you live is every area of your life. How you walk is how you operate, how you function, how you make it through the day. And it is, if you do it victoriously, it's by faith. It's faith in the morning, faith at noontime, faith when the sun goes down. And faith is not this mysterious, unknowable thing that some people imagine it to be. It's very discernible. It's very detectable. And it operates by specific laws that God has set in motion. So if we're going to have faith for provision, you need provision every day of your life. You need something to eat, something to wear, a way to travel, to get around, a place to sleep and lay your head. If you have a business, if you have family, ministry, church, you need stuff. You need money.
Yes.
Sometimes people like squeamish about that. No, you're going to want some money, right? For this is over with. You need some. Now, people say, yeah, but you know, money is the root of all evil. It is not. It is not. Quit misquoting the scriptures. It's the love of money, and they are not remotely the same thing. There's a lot of people who have no money at all, and they sit around and daydream about it all day, and they love it, and they don't have it. Well, if you can love it and not have it, you could have it and not love it.
Yes.
They are not the same thing. You need some money. Everybody needs some money, some things. And depending on what your call is, you may need more resources. You do know that the main directive is to go into all the world. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, that's a big place.
Yes.
Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel. Is it true that the Lord wants everybody on the planet to hear the good news?
Yes.
And to hear it right and powerful and clear? Well, then do we need to be on every available voice? Do we need to be going, preaching, teaching, TV, internet, printed page, downloads? Is that the will of God or not?
Yes.
Well, that's going to require some resources. I mean, Faith School requires some resources. But we have abundance.
Yes.
And we don't lack. And we're able to keep going because of God's faithfulness, and His faithfulness is connected to our faith to receive His faithfulness. And our faith is not just it dropped on us out of the sky. It comes by hearing what He has said. And so we know this, and so we spend time hearing it and looking at it and feeding on it. So when it comes to the point where we do need some resources, we're not wondering and wavering whether it's God's will or not for us to have it. We already know.
Yes.
It is.
It is.
Right?
Yes.
We don't have to try to solve the mystery. The mystery has been solved for us in the written Word of God. And so what we have been doing for weeks now here at Faith School is giving you one after another 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure. Did you hear that word? Sure. Sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Now that's a big statement. It's an all-inclusive statement. Question is it true? Is it true? And what do we say? We're giving you one after another 30 reasons from Scripture. Multiple verses in Scriptures for each one of the 30 reasons. So all told, we're giving you hundreds of verses throughout the course of this. If this is really true, that there are hundreds of verses revealing and confirming God always wants you to have abundant provision, why would you doubt it anymore? If that's true. And if you say, well, I just don't know if I believe all that. Well, what's your belief based on? If it's not based on scriptures, what's it based on? And how can you be sure that that's something that you should believe? There's only one sure, solid, hallelujah, unquestionable, unchanging, eternal truth. It is written. Hallelujah. That's how Jesus defeated the enemy. Time after time, it's how we will overcome the wavering, the wondering, the questioning. If you respect God, and then you're going to respect what He said. And if He said it, then you are not debating it anymore. You're going, oh, He said it. That's it. Got my answer.
Yes.
Right? Then it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks or said about it. For you, it is settled and forever settled. And that's where faith is built on. You can't have faith for something as long as you're still questioning whether it's God's will or not. Just doesn't work. Maybe He will, maybe He won't. That is being faithless. You know, I hope He will help me with this, but I don't know. Maybe it's not His will. That's wavering. And James says the person that wavers, don't let them think they'll receive anything. No, before you can have faith, you've got to become fully persuaded of what God's will is. Well, how is that going to happen? What He said. I've heard people say, well, you just never know what God's going to do. Well, if He said He would do something, why can't I count on His word?
Amen.
Huh? And you know, if I told you, Brother Keith said, well, I'll do this for you. And somebody asked you, well, you reckon He'll do it? And you said, well, you just never know what Brother Keith is going to do. Is that a compliment?
No,
you're saying, maybe I'll keep my word. Maybe I won't. You just never know. No, that's not a good thing to say. That's a bad thing to say about somebody. And you should never say it about your God. He will do what He said He will do. Every time, everywhere, for everybody. And so that's why we're going one by one, verse after verse, truth after truth, reason after reason. And at some point, you should make up your mind. Right? At some point, we should get this settled that truly it is. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. I'd like to hear you say that. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Say it again. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Always. The first reason we gave was the Lord is my shepherd. Number one. And if you haven't been with us, if you'll go online, go to faithschool.org. Hundreds of previous messages on faith are right there. It won't cost you anything. There's no commitment required. And we already covered, you know, like I said, a number of these reasons. And you can catch up. The Lord is our shepherd was the first one. And it's right there on the website. And the scripture said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Another one said, I will not be in lack. Another one said, the Lord's my shepherd, there's nothing I lack. Another one said, the Lord's my shepherd, He gives me everything I need. Another one says, the Lord takes care of me as my sheep, as His sheep, rather. I will always have everything I need. Amen. Does that sound like being broke or poor? That was our first reason. Then we went to the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven, the God of Abraham, that we are the seed of Abraham, the blessing of tithing, honor and riches, wisdom and wealth, being imitators of God, the great I am, the names of God, the God of restoration, And now we're down to number 15, so we're halfway through our 30. We're sure abundant provision's always God's will for us all because of God's provision in the wilderness. The Lord, in a spectacular fashion, provided for His people in the wilderness. Now, you'll hear both the terms in the desert and also in the wilderness talking about these things. And the phrase is used repeatedly, reminding you of where it happened. And what's the significance about that He provided for them in the wilderness? Well, one word for wilderness means desolate, a desolation. The desert means nothing. There's no food, there's no water, there's no provision, there's no place to get it. And the Lord is saying that He provided for them everything they needed where there was nothing. In a dry, empty, barren, desolate place. He did that on purpose. He did it repeatedly. And so in Deuteronomy 2:7, it says, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. He knows you're walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, you have lacked nothing." You lacked nothing where? Where there was nothing. The Nehemiah 9 talks about this as well. Nehemiah 9:19. He said, "You in your manifold mercies forsook them not in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud departed not from them by day to lead them in the way, neither the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way wherein they should go. You gave also your good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst." Part of this is talking about the mercy of God. If you note the language, it said, "You didn't forsake them, and you didn't withhold." Well, why does it use that language? Why is it coming from that standpoint? Because He could have justly forsaken them, because they were being very disobedient, very disrespectful, unthankful. They weren't listening. They weren't trusting. They weren't believing. And so Jesus talked about this, about how God is so merciful that He is kind even to the unthankful. And you remember it talks about He sends His rain on the just and the unjust. Now, some people have heard that and they thought they're trying to make rain as some kind of negative thing. Rain is a blessing. Yes. Without rain, you got no crops, you got no grass. No, He's saying God lets good things happen to people that hate Him, people that mock Him and blaspheme Him. He is so merciful and so gracious and kind. And so that's what it's saying. Even though they were acting like heathen, not believing, not trusting, not listening, not obeying, He still caused manna to keep falling every day. Yes. He still kept His, you know, the fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day to lead them. Elsewise, you know, they'd have gone to the wrong place and without provision would have died right away. But He kept on leading. He kept on guiding. Kept on instructing by His good spirit. He kept on giving them bread, giving them food, giving them water. And it goes on to say in verse 21, "Yea, 40 years did you sustain them," where?
In
the desolation where there was nothing, "so that they lacked nothing." They lacked nothing. "Their clothes waxed not old, and their feet swelled not." Now, we talked about in previous lessons here recently that there were 603,550 age fighting men in this group, just fighting age men. You add to that the women, the children, the older people, you probably got at least 1.5 million people, maybe more. And they have scores of thousands of head of livestock. And the scripture's telling us that none of them did without. For 40 years, none of them starved to death. None of them perished for lack of water. And yet, where they were living and traveling to get anything? There's no warehouses, there's no grocery stores, there's no water reservoirs, right? Nothing. A place of utter dry heat, desolation. No food, no water, nothing. And yet, they lacked nothing. How does that work? Right? It had to come from outside what they were experiencing. It had to come from above. Right? I mean, see, that's a perfect picture, isn't it? Of divine provision. Well, where did my food come from? It came from up there. It just came from out of the sky. Came from heaven. And the water, there was no water. Nobody could have dug deep enough where they were and found any water. But the scripture says that God rent the rocks. So there was some kind of little mini earthquake, little mini quake, and it ripped giant boulders or cliff face apart. And from the depths, it said, how deep this was, we don't know. But here comes not a trickle, not a stream, rivers of water enough to slake the thirst of all these 1.5 million people and all their hundreds of thousands of livestock. And a camel can drink a lot of water. Why are we talking about this? God did this on purpose to demonstrate that He can and He will take care of you anywhere. Doesn't matter where you are. Huh? Anywhere. Now the devil, one of his favorite things is to try to convince you of reasons why it won't work for you, or it won't work for you now, or it won't work for you here. Because of this. Well, because of the government, because of the economy, because of what's going on at the company where I work, because nobody knows you, because of where you're from, because of what you don't know, because of the education you don't have. Huh? You don't have the contacts. You don't have the this. You don't have the that. And all of this is designed for you or I to concede, well, I guess that just won't happen, will it? Enemy says, no, it ain't gonna happen for you. Not here. Not now. But why not? Why not? God demonstrated. And you got to remember, these people are not acting like little angels.
That's right.
Right? They are not demonstrating stalwart spirituality. They're being a pain. They are rebellious. They are, you know, speaking against God, speaking against Moses, against Aaron. And yet, God says, no. I'm going to demonstrate for everybody to see, for every generation from now on, that I can take care of you where there is nothing.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing. I can bring it in from above. I can bring it in from below. I can bring it in from the outside, but I will get it to you.
Yes.
Woo! Glory to God. I have preached myself happy. I'm thinking of things the Lord has done for us personally, where you just had no idea where it could come from or how it could happen, and yet it did. It did. So everybody said out loud, Father, I believe in you.
I believe
I believe nothing's too hard for you.
Nothing's too
difficult for you.
Nothing's too
And you can.
And you can.
And you will.
And you will.
Provide for me.
Provide for me.
Today.
Today.
Here.
Here.
Now.
Now.
I'm believing.
I'm believing.
To see.
To see.
The goodness of the Lord.
The goodness of the Lord.
In the land of the living.
In the land of the living.
I call every bill paid.
I call every bill paid.
I call every need met.
I call every need met.
I call every obligation fulfilled.
I call every obligation fulfilled.
We will have plenty.
We will have plenty.
And plenty to give.
And plenty to give.
In Jesus' holy name.
In Jesus'
holy name. Hallelujah.
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 The scripture says that the Lord Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. You know, somebody joining us might say, why do you keep saying, say this, say that, say this? Well, there's reasons why.
Yes.
The Lord works with what we say. And on a negative note, the enemy works with what you say. If you say we can't, if you say it'll never happen. And the thing is, the enemy is always trying to push you to say something like that.
Yes.
That negative thoughts and helplessness and hopelessness, and he'll push you to try to get you to say, I'm just so tired of this. Nothing ever works out for me, and I don't know why, and why won't anybody help me? He's pushing you to say that, because if you will believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, the devil and his cohorts have a legal right to work that in your life so that you don't have it. So you better watch your little mouth.
Yes, right.
Is that right? You better watch.
Yes.
Watch right here. Huh? And say it out loud. Lord,
Lord,
set a watch
at the door of my mouth
and alert me,
lest I say wrong things
that the enemy can use against me. And remind me
and
quicken me
of what to say
and what to believe
and what to expect
that you can work with, that your Holy Spirit
can
confirm,
that your holy
angels can bring to pass
in Jesus' name.
Praise be to God. Well, our time's up again, but I'm stirred up. How about you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, come back tomorrow. There's a lot more to get into this, but you do need to know. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you see or what's happened or what hasn't happened. God can provide for you anywhere.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.